you always talk about The Exorcist as an exploration of the mystery of faith, as you just have. But I'm wondering, as you've lived your life since The Exorcist, and your faith and understanding of things has evolved, do you think if you were to make The Exorcist today that you would have made it in any way differently?
You couldn't make The Exorcist today the way I made it. It would have to be ludicrous, the way all of these Exorcist sequels and ripoffs have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd have to escalate all the special effects. It would all have to be so wildly supernatural and without any kind of realistic base to even get considered today.
Mm-hmm.
No, you could, even though the film, as you probably know, remains enormously popular and is continuing to be seen by, you know, vast hordes of people all over the world. One of the reasons for that is we've with Warner Brothers, we've kept it alive. You know, we've made versions of the film that look like the film was made yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing dated about it. But the idea of the story itself, the way Blatty wrote it, and the way I interpreted it, no, you couldn't do that today. It would have to be, you know, complete bullshit,
mm-hmm.
which is what these films are. They are not made by people who are exploring the idea of a faith-based society. They're just made to rip people off and sell tickets. You couldn't make it today, no.
I don't think you could either, but what interests me is a director such as yourself, your relationship with your previous work, because I suppose one way to look at it would be, you look at The Exorcist and you think, that's where I was at that point of my life. That's like a marker of who I was then. Do you still feel that you completely relate to the William Friedkin that made The Exorcist at that time? Are you still in that same place?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, that's an omega point. A story like The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't something that once you reach that point, you then back away or transcend it. No, my interests remain the same. I believe, because I know so much about the actual case on which this film is based, I know that something happened in that case that was either... how can I put this? It was either mass hallucination or something transcendent that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
There were, in the 20th century, there were only three cases known that the Catholic Church had authenticated as demonic possession in this country. Now, today, around the world, you have guys who claim to be exorcists or priests or whatever, and many of them do two or three exorcisms before breakfast, you know. And there's a guy in the Vatican who is the Vatican's official exorcist. His name is Father Gabriel Amorth, A-M-O-R-T-H, and he claims to have done thousands of exorcisms, and to me he just gives exorcism a bad name. I think there were very few. I think in our time, I think to a great extent, obviously I wasn't around during the 1949 case, but possibly there are other solutions to the affliction of that young man then, who was 14 years old. He's still alive today with no memory of what happened to him. And, you know, the church through the Jesuit diocese in the Washington area still keeps an eye on him because he lives back in that area. And clearly, from my reading of the files of the case, which were given to me by Father Henley, who was the president of Georgetown, Father Robert Henley, One day he sat me down and let me read the files, which included the diaries of the doctors and the nurses as well as the priests who were involved in that case. It was clear to me that something transcendent had occurred. And I don't know whether you ever saw the Washington Post front page article about that case in 1949. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't, no.
You can Google it. It's out there. It's written by a reporter who was on the Washington Post called Bill Brinkley. It's a front page article that runs for almost, I think, over two full pages. And it describes this incident in 1949 in the Silver Spring, Maryland area, which Brinkley refers to as a case of demonic possession that was in fact cured by this lengthy exorcism as performed by the church. And it's very rare to see something like that given credibility on the front page of a major American newspaper. You know, that wasn't the Inquirer. Bill Brinkley later went on and became a very successful novelist. He wrote a comic novel called Don't Go Near the Water, which became a film. But all laid out in this newspaper, on the front page, the upper left-hand column is where it starts with a big headline, is a description of that case.
Wow.
And that and the diaries and other things that I've been privy to have have deepened my faith. But I don't have any ultimate conclusions because I'm not Catholic. I believe that the organized religion is basically pretty far from the teachings of Jesus. You know, I mentioned a guy who walked around in a robe and sandals, and now you see, you know, the fathers of the church wearing costumes and, you know, gold-plated silver, you know, they eat off fine china, and they drink great wine, and they own banks, and they own real estate, and it looks like a lot of dress-up, you know, and it's just not what I perceive as the teachings of Jesus.